I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen up, you motherfuckers.
Politics. Politics. Humor. Humor. Tequila. Tequila. And an IQ of under 64.
Yeah.
You're listening to Art Cop Radio. Radio. Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Bart Cop Radio. Often seen on BartCop.com, often heard on the Bart Cop Radio networks. My name's Bart, and I'm driving the big boat today. Got a jam-packed show for you today. You know, a CD will hold 74 minutes. I think we're going to take this to the 73rd minute. Tell you a little bit about what we have planned for the show. I'm not sure this what's going to end up there, because things rarely go as planned. Got me a Time magazine. Saw a lot of things I didn't like in it. Saw some things in there that were funny. Saw some things in there that needed applause. So we're going to do some of that. We had some attacks on our presumed Democratic frontrunner that we're going to get into. Going to hear from Randy Rhodes. She's in a bad mood. Got some healthcare talk. Got some Hollywood talk. Got some sports talk. We got it all. Also, I keep getting emails saying, Bart, why do you have all those funny sound clips and stuff in there? We want to hear more of your rat-like voice. So that's what we did this time. As you know, you are the producers. So if you'd like to hear us do some, if there's a bit you like or a bit you don't like, send us an email. Can't waste a lot of time in the opening. Let's get the important stuff out the way. We likes the Chinako. But okay, better get to the big, big show. Here we go.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Okay, okay, let's get started in the big, big show. I'm in time trouble again. I've got about 2 hours to do a one-hour show. Ordinarily, you'd think that would work, but you don't know me very well. Going to start out with the new Time magazine. It's the one that's got the brain on the cover. It says, The Brain, A User's Guide. And I wonder if it's a coincidence that Bush's State of the Union is tonight. Because if there's ever been a president with brain trouble, it's the one we got right now. And funny, in this new Time magazine, oh, another thing. I ordinarily wouldn't subscribe to such a whore magazine, but they just give it away. I think it was like $6 or something for a year. What they do, I assume, is they're trying to build up their circulation. Oh, we got so many millions of customers. Well, yeah, you're giving the thing away. And for $6, I figured it'd probably help the radio show give me some topics and that to talk about. But in this Time issue, they have a whole lot of pictures of monkeys and bananas when they talk about how the brain works. I wonder if that's a shout-out to old Bart. It could be, it could not be. One doesn't know, does one? First thing I want to talk about in the Time magazine is they had some letters to the editors about the troops. Time asked, does sending more soldiers to Iraq make any sense? Bush's opponents claim we don't have enough troops to do the job. Then, when indications are that more will be sent, the same folks claim that won't work either. Now, what an idiot. Remember we talked about this. If you got a 2-3 gang member standing on your corner and they're selling crack, you don't go over there with 2 or 3 people, or even 5 or 6, and try to talk them out of leaving. You show up with 30, and you got 30 people telling those 3 guys to get out and don't come back. That's an overwhelming force, part of the Powell Doctrine, that was totally, completely ignored. The generals told him you need maybe 400,000 troops. They said, nah, we'll go in with $140, and we'll get the job done, and we'll save money. And so after almost 4 years now of troops dying every day, now Bush has decided to go from 140 to 160. Well, no, you don't do that. If you got the 3 guys on the corner and you show up with 5, well, 7 doesn't really help. There's a difference between 7 and 30. I'm Catholic and I know the difference between 7 and 30. But this guy, he wants to protect Bush at all costs. You know, we've got, 30% of the country is just unable to grasp the reality of the situation. They see Bush as the holy warrior who can't make a mistake. And anybody who speaks against him must be a traitor helping Al-Qaeda. These people are crazy. Okay, back to the letter. There's no place for such political cynicism. Well, no, dude, I think it's called math. Whether it's espoused by congressional Democrats or Time magazine, oh, yeah, Time is helping the Democrats kick Bush's ass. That's right. When the lives of American troops are on the line. Well, you know, this is John Jager, Irvine Califf. But, you know, if there are 2 different ways to address this situation, and one way is bring the troops home, and one way is to keep them there, maybe go for the surge and get some more of them killed. Well, let's see. Option A is no more dead soldiers. Option B is a whole bunch more dead soldiers, for sure. And they haven't explained how they intend to turn this around. And we know they can't be trusted. Everything they've told has been a lie. I ran a Joe Biden quote the other day. Joe Biden said, Cheney's been wrong every single time. Name one time when Cheney was right about anything in Iraq. Go figure, Joe Biden. After 6 years of being on his knees for the Bush administration, now he's decided, oh, it's time to get tough. I'm going to run for president. Letter number two. What a surge really means, depicted a growing consensus, even with the president's own party, that the Iraq invasion has led to an endless quagmire of violence and destruction. Bush's judgment cannot be trusted. From the beginning, the White House ignored experienced leaders. I'm sorry, the White House did not ignore anything. God, I hate that. From the beginning, Bush ignored experienced military leaders and drastically miscalculated the number of troops necessary to achieve our goals. Congress should study the president's proposal hard. What? Congress should study the president's proposal? No, they should reject it out of hand. Monkey? Without a vastly superior plan, we're only sending more troops to die. Well, maybe not all, monkey. Mitchell J. Fine, El Dorado Hills. Oh, I'm sorry, that may be El Dorado, depending on where you're from. Calif. Okay, here we got another letter. It appears that President Bush, the self-described decider, has elected to ignore the well-respected bipartisan Iraq study group, which recommended the drawdown of American troops from combat in Iraq. He is also ignoring 80% of the American people. Might be an exaggeration. No, well, right now Bush at 28, so 72, a little different than 80, but hey, we'll let him go since he's attacking Bush. Ignoring 80% of the American people who want him to bring the troops home. He has decided to do just the opposite with a surge in troops. I always put the surge in quotes, which is just spin for escalation. We tried that in Vietnam, which ended only when the American people finally woke up and demanded a halt. We must do the same now with this Iraq fiasco, because it's very clear that Bush and Cheney will never bring it to end on their own. I've been saying for, I don't know, 6 months, a year, 18 months, 24 months, not sure how long, but this is just like Vietnam, and I called it, not that I remember it because I'm old, that's not that I called anything, but, you know, it starts with the radical left saying this war is a bad idea, and then pretty soon the middle left saying this is a crazy war, and then pretty much all the left is saying this is crazy, and then pretty much all the Democrats are saying this is crazy, and now we've got the partly sane Republicans saying this is crazy, your Hagels, your Susan Collins, your Warners. Go figure. Can you believe there's three sane Republicans in the Senate? And I don't know what the date is, but in 2 more weeks, there'll be another 3, 4. Well, Norm Coleman is another one. And so this is what he would call the middle of January. So say the 1st of March, there's going to be maybe 15, 20 Republican senators saying this is a bad idea. We can't. And it's all... Where have they been? Why didn't they say this back then? People always ask me, why didn't Hillary come out against the war? Well, a freshman senator in a minority party is not really a giant bulldozer for change. But if the president's own people would have reckoned, everybody knew before now that this wasn't working, but they just decided to stick with their president and let the soldiers die. Why aren't these people put under oath and say, why did you vote? Why did you keep your mouth shut to protect your president when those soldiers needed your help? Letter number four. Instead of asking whether it makes any sense to send more troops to Iraq, you should have asked whether it made sense to send the troops in the first place. Yes. The Republicans love to play the game. Now's not the time for the blame game. But when is the time? They said we couldn't talk about blame after Katrina. Well, now Katrina's over with and under the bridge and nobody talked because we got newer, more recent disasters to talk about. But if we could have kicked around who was at fault for Katrina and pointed the arrow a little more squarely at Dermonkey, then next time he says, oh, I'm the decider, here's the great plan for Iraq. Well, no, you're the Katrina architect. Why do we want to let you be the Iraqi architect? Makes no sense. Even a complete idiot. Well, how do you start a sentence with that when you're talking about Bush? Could see that the removal of Saddam would give rise to civil war and a bloody Shiite takeover. We have wasted more than $350 billion. Now, wait, it's always a bad idea to talk about numbers. It's a black budget war. $350 billion, you don't have any idea. I saw a thing in today's, some somewhere I was reading, maybe $2 trillion, maybe $3 trillion. So this guy's off by a factor of 90%, or whatever you want to call that. But he may be giving us 10% of the actual figure, $350 billion. No, what if it's $3 trillion? And all the, oh, you saw, I don't know if I got to it. There's a story about Bush is killing the program. They have what it's like a social worker that helps the more severely traumatized, brain injured soldiers coming back from this war. He's cutting funding for that because we can't afford it, because he's giving the tax cuts to the super rich and letting the Chinese finance it. But the boys who got their brains scrambled in Iraq, hey, dude, we're out of money. Sorry. I ain't got a magic wand I can wave to give you more people. That son of a bitch. The first time he started that magic wand, I knew it. I knew it as quick as hell. When, after they bankrupt the all Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, all that, then they're going to say, but we ain't got no magic wand. Well, yeah, you had one in your hand. You gave it to the super rich, and they created more wealth for themselves. You sons of bitches. Okay, we have wasted more than $350 billion, he says, lost another war, caused more than 50,000 civilian deaths in Iraq, which could be a million. Dude, if you're going to complain, don't lowball everything. Don't be Eleanor Clift and give the other guy the benefit of every doubt. Where'd you people learn to argue? Reduced the country to anarchy and incurred the hatred of much of the world, and now we're proposing to continue on the same insane course, says John Whitman, Peaks Island, Maine. How about that? He's not in California. All right, last one for this page. Trying to do it quick. I know how you love the brief Bart. Regarding which way forward? Oh, he puts a title on his. Ooh. Regarding William Crystal's There's a Way Forward in Iraq, Crystal is one among, ready? Crystal is one among, if people would write like they talk, the world would be a lot easier. Crystal is one among a thinning crowd of neocon true believers who still grope for some shred of justification for the worst foreign policy debacle in a generation. Bingo. He could have phrased that a lot more street than he did, but I, with my IQ of 64, I need to talk to that Ann in Philly a little more often. You know, when I talk to her, my brain goes up 3 or 4 points. When he writes that the death of Saddam might remind Americans of the fundamental justice of this war, he is convenient amnesia on a key fact. Bush did not sell the Iraq war as a quest for justice. It sold it by telling lies about Iraq's WMDs and al-Qaeda's connection and imminent threats. When all those proved false, Bush and the neocons began manufacturing a series of substitute sales pitches to cover the smell of a policy that was rotten from the beginning, and the media helped them every bit of the way. Wolf Blitzer, Tim the Whore, George Stephanopoulos, Bob Schieffer, Brian Williams, anybody who's in front of a camera backed up Bush every step of the way. Whatever Bush said, they said, these are the facts. They wouldn't say, Bush is claiming X and Y. No, they wouldn't give us the facts. They said, what Bush said is the facts. The sons of bitches. Crystal can keep on selling, but 3,000 U.S. lies and 46 months later, no one's buying. Tim Hitchcock. Oh, God. Tilghman, Maryland. Those letters are right. It's just so stupid. And this is 30 years after Vietnam. How many times do we have to learn the same lesson? Makes no damn sense. Okay, new page. Let's talk about her for a second. Oh, and I got a piece that I hope I can get to it, because it really pisses me off. But it's going to require some brains on my part, so it could be trouble. Okay, now here's a... This is that same crazy bastard William Crystal on Hillary's Iraq shuffle. Now you notice, well, the left and the right are trying their best to make this Hillary's war. This is Hillary's decision to make. Hillary looked at the evidence and convinced Bush to go. That's what a lot of people are trying to do there. But the truth is, I ain't buying it. Here's what Billy Crystal says. What's revealing is a Clinton aides attempt to include Clinton among Democrats who are fighting Bush's Iraq policy. Clinton's, quote, fighting has been pretty muted so far. Well, yeah, freshman senator on her first job, didn't want to run into the spotlight screaming, me, 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 like Paula Jones. I think that's acceptable. I'm one of the few. Her response to the president's speech was a low-key press release. I cannot support his proposed escalation of the war in Iraq. Oh, he just hates that. Hillary being co-architect of the war. She then set off on a trip to Iraq, and upon returning, went a step further than she had before. I support putting a cap on the number of American troops as of January 1st. Well, it looks to me like she looked at the problem before she spoke. Isn't that a little rare in politics? In the end, she may be able to triangulate successfully between the dangers of Muskie-esque centrism and Kerry-esque accommodation to the left. So his goal is to tie Hillary, the war hawk, to every lefty crazy person that's ever been. Not, I don't think they're crazy, but that's what his, that's what Crystal's point is, that is she going to go the Muskie way or the Kerry way with her triangulation? Just trying to make it sound as spooky and scary as it can. I'd bet on her if her competitors remain limited to candidates like Edwards, Obama, Biden, and Christopher Dodd. But what if she faces a rival who spoke eloquently against the Iraq war from the first, yet also has a hawkish national security record? What if that man has substantial experience? Now remember, he's talking about a Democrat here. What if that man had substantial experience in the highest levels of government and can also raise plenty of money as a candidate? What if he ran for president once before? The clues are falling into place. And won the popular vote. Bingo! I know who it is. Clinton undoubtedly dreams occasionally about the fates of Ed Muskie and John Kerry. Earlier in the article, he talked about how each of them blew it, which I could have explained to you in a whole lot fewer words. But if she stays awake at night, it's because she's worrying about Al Gore. Okay, now, we ought to do this. No, don't know about every radio show, but between now and the election, we're going to run through the candidates real quick. John Edwards has a chance. I like him. Good guy. Don't know how effective he is because he had to play under Kerry's rules last time. Barack Obama, too soon. I think we all agree. Joe Biden, not a chance in hell. Not going to be the vice president. Not going to do anything. But he's going to run up on the stage. Look at me. Look at me. I'm Joe Biden. Look at me. And he ain't going nowhere. Neither is Christopher Dodd. Why these two, why Biden and Dodd are in the race, I have no idea. I guess that way when they get introduced on the Tonight Show 3-4 years from now, they could say, and former presidential candidate, like, oh yeah, we all voted for them. On the other hand, Al Gore is serious. Oh, they talk about Muskie and Kerry. I don't think Muskie's going to run. He's dead. Kerry, no, 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 no to John Kerry. We don't need somebody with experience in surrendering up front. We need somebody who wants to actually win. Al Gore, though, I sure do like the 2006 or 7 Al Gore a whole lot more than I like the 2000 Al Gore. He's got a whole lot of credibility on this global warming now. He's a lot more forceful speaker. Don't think he'd be interested in the VP spot. Don't think Hillary is either. So wouldn't it be nice if they had a, well, if Gore, Edwards, Obama, and Clinton had a four-way debate about actual issues instead of, I don't think my friend in the Senate here, let's not go there. Wouldn't it be nice if they actually debated like adults? So that's the deal. Bill Kristol is so worried that Hillary's going to be sidetracked. Oh, he's so worried that Al Gore might overtake her. Oh, he's, you really got to wonder when these Republicans try so hard to protect Hillary, their favorite. Next bit is a little thing on Hillary, and you don't have to like Hillary, and you don't have to hate me if I like her, and again, I like her because she's a front runner, but the day after she announced, I wonder why she did this, she announced, I think, on a Saturday morning, and that's generally when you announce all the bad news. Well, like when Bush the Smarter pardoned Reagan's cabinet, he did that on Christmas Eve because, you know, nobody would be anywhere near their newspapers or whatever, they're all going home with the presents and Santa and the Christmas carols and stuff. Traditionally, Friday night, Saturday morning, that's when Bush releases all the bad news because he knows he won't get a whole lot of play. So, U.S. Whore Today was expecting Hillary to be announcing at some point, so they had this all worked up ahead of time. Big, giant headlines, center of the page, above the fold, Monday morning. Why some Democrats worry that she can't win. Hillary? Hillary? With a bunch of question marks. So, they went and found every Hillary hater they could find. And again, if the people hate Hillary, I can accept that. But what you got, they'll have a room full of, say, 200 people, and they'll talk to maybe 40 of them, and if they can find three or four that don't like Hillary or not real big on her, then they make those four people the focus of the deal. You got 300-400 people in a room, they pick out 1%, and they say, here's what Democrats say. I think that's lying, it's handjobism, and it's something up with which I will not put. So in this article, you get a whole lot of stuff like, We've got to find somebody else, says David Newman, a retired teacher from York, Maine. I think she's great. If she had a chance of winning, I'd vote for her. She's dragging a ball and chain behind her. There are too many people who have an aversion to her. So this guy's walking up and down the street, ringing a bell. She can't win. She can't win. Too many people don't think she can win. She can't win. Ring, ring, ring. She can't win. Thanks for helping the team, dude. So we flip the page. We get some more of this. She doesn't fit the mold, says Elizabeth Ossoff, a political psychologist at St. Anselm's College in Manchester, New Hampshire. She predicts a very difficult but very interesting race. A lot of things are going to get brought up, and people are going to have to face their opinions. Okay, I wonder what that means in English. Next, they talk to, who is this guy? State polls and anecdotal evidence show a mixed picture for Clinton, which is a stupid sentence. There's never been a politician in American history who didn't have a mixed picture. Why do people say things that make no sense? You might as well say, gobbledygook on Thursday with purple. It means the same thing. In Hollywood, where Democratic candidates go to raise money, now see, yeah, Hollywood. Oh, they've been real helpful the last couple elections, haven't they, with all their billions. Hell, we can't keep a damn Air America radio on the air on a shoestring. That's how much Hollywood's putting into this. Some Hollywood people are committed to her, but others are abuzz over Obama and Edwards. A lot of people I know haven't made up their minds yet, says activist Marjorie Tabankin, who advises Barbara Streisand and others on political and charitable giving. Clinton is seen as very competent and strong, Tabankin says. At the same time, there is some concern about her 2002 vote to authorize the Iraq War. Objection, she didn't. And her viability in a general election. Oh, and we forgot to mention them. I forgot this part, and they had to make sure this made it to the front page. They just wouldn't be able to go to sleep at night if they put this sentence inside the page. They had to be sure that the people who glanced at the front page get this. And they talk about Clinton is a complicated package, which, again, how stupid. Name for me someone who's running for president who's real simple and easy to figure out and everything's black and white and there's no mixed. I mean, besides Bush. Clinton is a complicated package. Her constituents and Senate colleagues generally view her as smart and hardworking. Hey, you can't write that about her. Didn't you get the memo? On the challenge side of the ledger, there's her personality, perceived in some quarters as chilly. Now, what does that mean? I think we could safely say that Clooney is perceived in some quarters as chilly, because some quarters, even if he's got a 98% warmth rating, that other 2% is some quarters that perceive him as chilly. So again, absolutely nothing. Her vote on Iraq, she supported the war. Objection. Can anybody get it right? And her gender. Are Americans ready for a female president? Here we go with the big one. Ready? Drum roll. Then there's that husband of hers. Could there be a more complicated marriage in America? And at U.S. Whore Today, it's our job to get between his penis and her vagina and figure shit out. Because that's who we are. We're U.S. Whore Today. On the front page, we're getting ready to elect a leader here who's not going to be the monkey. And they got to get into the sex life of the candidate and his wife. Gee, you think they could ever stick to the news? I don't guess that's possible at U.S. Whore Today. Okay, now we're getting closer. Here comes the part that pisses me off. And you know, sometimes when I get pissed off, sometimes those consonants come out. Okay, they're screaming at her for all kinds of things. Senator Kerry, Joe Biden, Chris Dodd voted for the war, as did Edwards. All four and Clinton say they would have voted differently had they known Saddam did not have WMDs. Clinton showcased a tougher stance on the Iraq conflict last week after a trip to Iraq and Afghanistan. She introduced the I heard that. Hillary says she wants to get the troops out of Iraq. However, as in the past, she would not say when that should happen. If a bunch of people get together and agree we need to do this, I think things might kind of happen on their own. I guess they want her to say May 1st. And so if they come on May 2nd, oh, she's a failure. Okay, here we got it. I got to get to the part that pisses me off because I'm getting pissed off thinking about it. Campbell, whoever that is, says Clinton needs to discuss her thinking, what it was like to be in New York and see the horrible pain and destruction of 9/11. And that is a real point that I haven't heard anybody say yet. To have been a New York senator and say, no, we're not going to go after the people that brought the towers down, that's way suicide. I think everybody agrees there. You know, someone wrote to me the other day, No, it was Cindy Sheehan. I read an article. She said she's going to put her support by someone who is totally and absolutely and unqualifiable against violence or war or whatever the thing was. And she was about as clear as the founding fathers on the Second Amendment. Does that mean going into Afghanistan was the wrong move? I don't think so. She's going to vote for someone who is totally and undeniably and absolutely for peace. Well, who voted against going after Osama? I wouldn't want to be that candidate, and especially if you're from New York. She's just going to have to figure out the right answer, her honest answer, and explain it, Campbell says. He must be an advisor. He's not attacking her. Everybody's going to have to do that. This is a very unpopular war. Okay, now we're going to, here we go. Here we go, the hard stuff. Penn estimates, whoever Penn is, the Republicans have spent $135 million on attacks against Clinton from the health care plan she formulated as First Lady in 1993 to her through her two Senate races. Fuck, if I could talk, this would only take... Penn, whoever that is, estimates Republicans have spent $135 million on attacks against Clinton from the health care plan she formulated as First Lady in 93 through her two Senate races. She has shown she has the ability to push back at the Republican machine. Bingo. That's something that Kerry couldn't do. That's something that Gore couldn't do. They stood there and said, who, me? Anytime an accusation came up. Who, me? Oh, now? I refuse to dignify that with a reply. Yeah. That's going to work great. In polls of Iowa and New Hampshire last month by Research 2000, an independent firm, yeah, they all are. That's why these people get into politics, because they have no agenda. Clinton lost to Giuliani and John McCain, two leading GOP presidential candidates. Well, yeah, we know that. Both states are important in a general election. So here's what we got. Hillary can't win. Because she supported the war, which isn't what she did, but that's what they're going to say about her. So she can't win because she's too hawkish. But now she's clearly against the war, wants the troops out of there, and she's going to lose this race to Giuliani and McCain both, who are so pro-surge they're just wetting their pants. How is that possible? How can she be in trouble for once having supported the war, they're going to say, and now she's going to lose the general election to the two war monkeys? How is that possible? You can't have it both ways. I know there's a whole lot of attacks on the Clintons. A whole lot of it comes down to they want it both ways. She's too hawkish. She's too liberal. She's just too everything. That's why we can't vote for her. But when you look at the logic of it, if she's running against a pro-surge guy and this war is somewhere between 72 and 80% unpopular, she's going to win. And you can say all day they'll never vote for a woman, but if you vote for McCain or Giuliani, you're voting for the war. If you're voting for her, you're voting against the war. It's that simple. And between her and her husband, they know how to frame an issue. When someone says, well, how do you do this and how do you do that? She'll say, I'll tell you how. Boom. And then she's going to answer the question. And I'm going to say, oh, damn. Hey, that was good. But we're not going to solve this today. There's going to be a whole lot more of this to come. And if she wins, fine. If she doesn't win the nomination I'm talking about, I can live with that all day. I just hope the guy that beats her plays fair. Nothing worse than cheating when you're fighting a girl.
Oh, well, a curd, curd, curd. Curd is the word. Oh, well, a curd, curd, curd. Curd is the word. Oh, well, a curd.
Bum, 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 Iraq. Bum, 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 Iraq.
Let's bomb Iraq. Yeah, let's attack that maniac. So now my missiles are a-cruising.
Giving me a bruising in Iraq.
Bomb, 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 Iraq.
Send home your plane.
I'm feeling your pain.
To mess with you in an election year, I had to be insane.
Bomb, Iraq, bomb, bomb, bomb. Yeah, let's bomb Iraq. I'm gonna do this like my poll said.
Do what Robert Doe says in Iraq.
Bomb, 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 Iraq.
What will you do the day that I'm through?
I'll bomb another country that is nastier than you.
Bomb, Iraq.
Bomb, bomb, bomb. Yeah, let's bomb Iraq. So damned if I do,
so damned if you don't. Bomb Iraq,
bomb, 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 kaboom!
What in the world is going on? Well, it looks to me like Bush is just sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting until the Iraqi parliament gets around to the business of passing a law that finally codifies into, and I use this term as an oxymoron, Iraqi law, the production sharing agreements for the oil companies at ridiculously unheard of percentages for profit taking out of Iraq's resource known as oil. 20%, no taxes on exporting, no criminal prosecutions. There's no one to hold them accountable for holding to their 20% profits. There's no law for them either. And this is what Bush is waiting for. Because when he says victory is achievable, what he's talking about is the passage of these production sharing agreements at bizarre profit margins for his friends, the oil company. And for Bush, victory is indeed at hand. Any moment now, any moment, by the time I say this, it could have happened. All they're waiting for is for the law. It's called the hydrocarbon law. For the hydrocarbon law drawn up by the Bush administration and by the UK, which was reported last week in The Independent, which is the more conservative of the newspaper, The Guardian and The Independent are the two big newspapers, that I rely on that are British. The Guardian would be more of a liberal paper. The Independent would be more of a conservative paper. And both those papers have reported on these, and The Independent reported that these percentages that Exxon, BP, Shell, and other carbon cronies of the White House, that these are unprecedented sweetheart deals. Gargantuan profits will go to them when the resources of Iraq, the oil resources of Iraq, have previously been owned by the government of Iraq. It was all about privatization, and it was always about privatization of the oil fields, and it was always about profit sharing agreement or a production sharing agreements, which I call profit stealing agreements, by force just shoved down the Iraqis' throats. When the Independent did the reporting on it, they said that they couldn't find one Iraqi member of parliament who had even seen the hydrocarbon law. Only reporters, a handful, had seen the hydrocarbon law, and anybody that looked at it who knew anything about production sharing agreements said that these were obscene and that Bush's big oil buddies were raking off up to 75% of all oil profits for an indefinite period up front until they decide that their infrastructure investments. Why would they have to make infrastructure investments in a country where 70% of the economy was drilling for and pumping oil? Why would foreigners have to come in and lend a hand with that when that is what Iraqis know how to do? But when they decide their infrastructure investments have been repaid, then they'll only take an unheard of 20% profit. But for an indefinite period of time, these carbon cronies will get 75% of the oil from Iraq to make money off of. This is just grotesque. Grotesque. And that is what victory is for Bush. Now, I don't know why they're calling it the hydrocarbon law. Does that sound better than the we came to steal your oil law? I really don't understand, why more people don't discuss, but I kept saying to you over and over again, somebody's got to ask Bush the question, what is victory? What does it look like, smell like, taste like? And I knew what it was, but, for a very long time, a lot of Americans didn't want to believe that their president would sacrifice American lives so that Cheney and the rest of the oil cronies could see an amazing amount of profit by stealing Iraq's oil. Nobody wanted to believe that this was blood for oil. Nobody wanted to believe it. Some of us intellectually knew what it was. Some people were investigating it so hard that they found the maps of how they were going to carve up Iraq's oil-rich resource fields, And the oil in Iraq is so easy to get at. It's not like, you look at what these oil companies have, tried to do to find new oil. They have gone, off the coast of the Gulf. They have gone, you know, with her deepness, drilling deep in the sea. They've gone to Alaska, where it's freezing cold, sometimes 120 degrees below zero, argued with the people of Alaska about the wilderness that they love, which is why they choose to live there. I know some of you in Florida don't get why would anybody want to live in the wilderness, Alaska, but people do, and it is their state, and it is their state resource to do with as they would. But on and on, they're going through more and more and more expensive ways of finding oil. And the Iraqi oil fields, it's a piece of cake, man. Why, before we deposed Saddam Hussein, Saddam was getting ready to, you know, to go take the oil out of, you know, proven oil fields that were just right below the ground, good old-fashioned oil drilling, you know, right below the ground. And this is what the oil company saw, and they said, we want that. We want that. Even in 99, I think it was, Dick Cheney said, the future of the oil industry, lays in the Middle East. That's where 3/4 of the oil resources are, so that's where we'll go. But they couldn't get in there. So they went in there by force, and they used our kids to go get it for them.
I guess how I am is invisible. Print on my hand, things in my pockets say nothing at all. Cut off from somebody, everybody wondering, poor child, poor child.
What else we got in this baby? Oh, speaking of, I wish there was a song called Woe Is Me so I could be playing it in the background when I tell you the story, but the nuttiest shit keeps happening to me, and there's no reason for it. You know, if every day I was doing crazy shit, and that was causing the equipment to break down, well, then I'd be the crazy guy. But we had the big cold snap in Tulsa, and the cable quit working. So that's the cable modem, that's the cable TV, it's, you know, everything got screwed up. And I, being an information type of guy, here I am in the future, I am on the cutting edge of communication worldwide, I can't afford to be shut off without any cable. Koresh is my witness. The son's bitch has been out here 6 times to work on my cable. You know how that goes. Can you be available between 12 and 6? Well, yeah, but I got shit to do. I'm a busy man just hanging around 6 times for you guys to show up. First guy, oh, you need this. Oh, I fixed that. Oh, I rerouted your router was all funny. Oh, and then you got a +4 and a +5. You're supposed to have a -2. Well, just fix it. And then the second guy goes, oh, you got a +12. It's supposed to be a -6. Well, then fix it. Oh, this didn't work, so we're going to rewire a new cable to your house. Thanks. This guy, oh, the nipple on your wall is bad. Well, yeah, fix my nipple. Another guy, oh, your cord looks like it could be old. Well, yeah, I got an idea. How about you fix every damn thing? But anyway, this first guy left, it was broke. Second guy left, it was broke. Third guy left, it was broke. Fourth guy left, it was broke. Fifth guy left, it was broke. Now, today, the sixth guy has left. And like always, it's working for the first couple hours, but as soon as it gets cold tonight, TV's going to freeze up, and I'm going at you all this way to tell you the cable now in my office doesn't work. And that pisses me off, because usually I sit here and I do my work. I got the CNN or the Nazi bastard something on the TV, and if something breaks, like, oh, just a while ago, that Christmas Fitz guy accused Cheney of destroying the memo, and I saw one thing on MSGOP that Cheney was trying to put all this on Libby. He told Libby, do this, and then Libby did that, and he said, hey, look what Libby did. Hey, you come get this guy. He broke the law. That's so cool, because Libby, we all waiting for Libby to turn on that bastard. But the big headline, as of 3 o'clock last Tuesday, hopefully I get this up in the next 6 days so that'll make sense, but the big headline was Cheney accused. Oh, don't you love to hear those? In a court of law, too. But anyway, and then on top of that, okay, you got all those problems. Now, put that over to the side. Now I got a problem that's just stupid. Have you ever seen what a sound file looks like? It's mostly, well, what I use? Cool Edit. The background is black, and if you speak or cough or drop something, that puts a little bubble on your screen. And when you're not speaking or dropping or coughing, it's just black. But what I've got now is when I'm trying to edit a show. See, I had a show probably almost an hour, almost the whole show done in the can. And then when I went back to edit it, there's sound coming out in the black parts, and then there's times when you see peaks and valleys, and I'm not saying anything. You just can't do that. That's wrong. It's like a bucket of water, and you stick your hand in, and it doesn't get wet. But this empty bucket over here, you stick your finger in there, and now it's all wet. That just is wrong. You know, so that, I think that's just resigned to the dustbin of history. That old show, yeah, it could have been, hell, this could be show 104. No, it's 103, because the stupid software goes crazy, and there's no reason for it to. Other than I need a on-site tech, shit, I need a guy here weekly to fix everything. I think I told you a while back, I hired this guy from the Guitar Center. Knows everything. He knows computers. He knows microphones. He knows. He sold me the, whatever, the voice box. I forget what it's called. The magic thingy that you plug the microphone in that creates the magic sound. He sold me one of those and hooked it up and wired it up, everything. Me and him got along great. You know, at the end of the day, I'd say, how much do you? And he'd say 40, and I'd give him 50. You know, a little tip. Make him happy. Plus, he just got married, got a kid on the way. You think he could use extra money? No. He's got other things to do than come by here and make $50 for an hour's work. Where the hell else does he work making $50 an hour? But no, he quit coming. He'd go, maybe after Christmas, or maybe after New Year's. Nee, nee, nee. So now I got to call back over there and try to find somebody in Oklahoma who understands that you plug a thing in here and it comes out over there. Okay. But yeah, the reason all that got started is I need a song, Woe Is Me. Or no, like Olivia and the Sopranos. Poor you. I need a song. Any musicians out there want to put together a Poor You song, I'll play it on the next show. Here's the thing. A whole lot of times when you're dealing with Bush, you don't need to know the facts. You glance at the headline, you maybe pick up a paragraph, and you know exactly what's going on. Don't know if I've ever gotten one of these wrong. Big headline, Bush's speech to push health care insurance plan. Well, it says changes to tax code would benefit all, White House says with straight face. Well, the White House didn't say that. If Bush is involved in any kind of reform, you know he's going to rape it, shoot it in the head, and bury it outside of town near a small bridge about 100 yards from the highway. That's what he does with everything. That's why the Treasury is empty. That's why the soldiers are dead. That's why New York is still smoking, because everything Bush touches, it's all about personal gain for him. So you see this thing, Bush's speech to push health insurance plan, all he's going to do is screw people. He's going to screw everybody, and the super rich are going to come out great. That's how things work. Health insurance is going up 10 to 15% a year. So 6-7 years go by, it's doubled. It'll double while he's president, because he's in the pocket of the insurance companies and the health care providers and all them sons of bitches. They're giving him big dollars to finance his campaign. And in return, he's saying, hey, you don't like the law? Send over someone who understands the law and tell him to take out all the parts he doesn't like, and that'll be the new law. And I'd like a few million in my bank account, please. Boom. There you go. The whole idea that Bush is a thieving bastard, and, you know, his name ought to be President Quack, because he's, in my lifetime, no one's ever been this lame a duck. Maybe Nixon the week he resigned, but he is totally irrelevant. As of today, his approval rating is 28%. Everybody hates him. His own party hates him. Whoever's running for Senate in 08, they're in trouble, because they're married to the monkey who's screwed everything up and is determined to screw it up more. But anyway, I want to give you one or two paragraphs on this this thieving healthcare lie that he's trying to force down our throats. Democrats such as Representative Pete Stark of California questioned another Bush plan to offer standard deduction for health insurance, $7,500 for individuals, $15,000 for families, while subjecting employer-paid health insurance to income taxes. Bush is raising taxes, and the Democrats, you know they're not going to call him on it. Why don't they say, Bush is raising your taxes with health care plan? Health care plans are high enough without Bush raising your taxes. Just keep saying that again and again. But no, they're afraid to do it. They can't do it. They're afraid somehow the tax ghost will come take them to Somalia to be tortured if they mention it. Representative Jim McCreary of Louisiana, top Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee, top Republican, has fielded the complaints from some Republicans who call the plan a tax increase. The Republicans are calling it a tax increase, but the Democrats won't say that because it wouldn't be nice and Mr. Roe wouldn't like it. Oh, how did I get in this party? White House officials said the proposed changes to the tax code represent reform, in quotes, not tax hikes. That check you're writing me, that's not for taxes, that's for reform. So sit down and write me a check, a big-ass check with a bunch of zeros on it. But it's not a tax. No, no, no. We think about it as tax reform that levels the playing field. Oh, my God, listen to Bush wanting to level the playing field. His idea of leveling the playing field is the super rich pay no taxes and the middle class and the poor pay double. That's his idea of leveling the playing field. The poor super rich. Oh, they got it so bad. It provides a basic standard benefit to all Americans, White House spokesman liar Tony Fratto said. Of all taxpayers who get health insurance from their employers, about 20% face the prospect of paying higher taxes. Bush is raising taxes on 20% of the poorest people in the country. He's borrowing money from China and the Saudis to give to the super rich so he can raise the taxes on the little guy. This is revenue-neutral tax reform, lied Catherine Biker of the Council of Economic Advisors. There are always going to be some winners and losers, but the people who might initially be losers have options. Well, yeah, they can always shoot themselves in the damn head. There's always going to be winners and losers. Yeah, with Bush, it's the super rich are always the winners, and the poor and the black and the gay and the disenfranchised, the helpless, they're always the losers. This is George Bush's America. If you doubt it, let's all move to New Orleans.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand.
People write in and they say, Bart, when are you going to talk more about Hollywood and Hollywood gossip? Well, as you know, we don't do that at BartCup.com. We don't do that on BartCup Radio. But sometimes there is the politics of Hollywood that can be interesting if you're into politics like you and me. Headline, ABC reprimands Washington sorry. There's this fellow named probably Isaiah Washington, or is he a basketball player? Hold on. Where's your damn name? Be nice they put it in the front paragraph. Okay. ABC chided Grey's Anatomy star Isaiah Washington on Thursday for inappropriate language he used at Monday's Golden Globes, and Washington issued an apology. Well, the sons of bitches, if we could get the facts, am I asking too much? Apparently what he said was, I didn't call George a faggot. I don't see what's wrong with that sentence. If someone says, Bart, you knifed the old lady. If I say, no, I didn't knife the old lady, am I guilty of murder somehow? No, I'm not. I'm denying the charge. And this guy may be guilty as hell. I'm just saying, because I don't know the facts, because they won't say. See, I wasn't in the room. I'm not on that show. I've never been even on that set. So I don't know what happened. I have to depend on others to say what happened, but they won't. One, because they're whores, and two, they can't get to the point. And three, they're so politically correct that they can't say what happened. Remember a while back there was some coach, an OU baseball coach, said something like, that nigger can hit home runs. But they never would say what he said. So how am I going to have an opinion on it when I don't know what he said? Oh, he used an inappropriate word. Well, it depends. What did he say? Did he call him a poopy pants or did he call him the dumb nigger? I mean, it all depends. Give us some facts. Do you mind? But apparently, and I have to guess because they won't say, apparently what this Washington said, not on stage, but, well, semi on stage. After the awards, they go backstage and they, you know, they pose with their awards and they all do that. And apparently someone said, did you call George? He plays, his name's TJ or something, but he's George on the show. I quit watching it. It was all soap. I thought there was going to be some medicine involved. Like on House, you get actual medicine and a little soap. On Grey's Anatomy, it's all, oh, Mr. McDreamy, which one will, you know, yeah, that's what I need. I need a lot more of that in my life. But apparently they said, he called George, this George character, a faggot. Now, this George has come out in the last, whatever, 6 months or 90 days, something, and said, yes, I'm gay. And they said back in October, Isaiah Washington called him a faggot. And they asked him at the Golden Globes, did you use that slur, I'm guessing, because they won't say, against George? And he said, no, I didn't call him a faggot. And, oh, now they want to fire him for using the word to deny that he said it. I don't see the problem there. Especially if you're black, I'd like to hear from you. Because if someone accuses me, say, Bart, you called that guy a nigger. I say, well, no, I didn't call him nigger. Well, am I guilty for using the word when I clarify the situation when you got it wrong? Assuming this guy's telling the truth. All I'm saying is, we've got to get to a point where someone can say what happened. Maybe that's part of the miracle of YouTube, that you can actually see it. And someone's saying, oh, Chris Wallace really got the better of Clinton. Well, no, I saw it myself, so fuck you. You're lying to me. Instead of someone describing it to us, we actually get to see it ourselves. This guy's in trouble for denying he used a bad word. And this comes right after Dr. McDreamy, they said, called Isaiah Washington a nigger. Well, they were having some kind of fight. Now, I guess I'd never have had that word slip out. I use the word sometimes, but I always know that I know what I'm doing when I say it. And he shouldn't have done it. But isn't it funny? These people, everybody on that show has got the best job of their lives. And for some reason, they have to claw and scratch at each other like a bunch of starving kids. Someone threw a hamburger on the basketball court and these poor starving kids had all died for the same piece of meat. No, that's not what they got. They're all making, what, maybe $300,000 per episode? And they can't quit calling each other racial and homosexual slur names long enough to make a bunch of money? What's wrong with people? And in the same way that we don't talk about Hollywood, because that's not what we do, we talk about politics, I would like now to not talk about sports.
Mark McGwire, not voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame because of his alleged steroid use, which isn't really the truth. He was kept out because of his extremely pitifully poor performance in front of Congress when he refused to say anything, which was quite a bad move. Maybe it was the right legal move, but to get up there and say, I don't want to talk about the past, well, you've done something in the past that you don't want to talk about. That is a black mark. But seems to me the bigger political issue here is baseball, like a whole lot of institutions, is a whore institution. Can you believe, I'll put money on this. If you got money, well, no, I don't want to do that because you might look it up, find one, and then bet me. But the greatest players in the game had people vote against them going into the Hall of Fame. I'll bet you Stan Musial, Willie Mays, for sure Roger Maris. There's just a whole lot of the greatest players that ever played eventually made it into the Hall of Fame or maybe even made it in on the first ballot, but they got no votes. Now, who in the hell is going to vote against Willie Mays to be in the Hall of Fame? There are racist sons of bitches in baseball. There are just plain old sons of bitches in baseball. There are people in baseball, well, they're human, and they hold grudges, and if Mark McGwire refused to interview with some reporter sometime, well, now he's going to vote against him in the Hall of Fame, and that just ought not to be. As far as Mark McGwire's particular situation, I don't know of any reputable accusation against him. I think that Jose Canseco said he saw him do it or he knows he did it, something like that. I think that's the closest there is to an accusation. Now, he admitted taking this Andro, whatever that is, but that was legal. Why in the hell can't you take some legal thing? If you want to further parse it out, what about vitamin D? What about vitamin A? What if the coach has you drink a gallon of orange juice a day? And, you know, this is always going to get back to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods had surgery on his eyes, so now he has 15-20 vision, which means something that's 20 feet away looks 15 feet away. Now, if that's not artificial enhancement, what the hell is? And sure, you can make an argument that steroids are bad for you, but gee, so is racing a car. Ask Dale Earnhardt if racing a car is bad for you. There are things that you do to your body. There are risks that you take. Muhammad Ali probably wouldn't have the degree of Parkinson's he has without his boxing career. There's hundreds of boxers who don't know who they are anymore. Jerry Quarry just died, Ali's first comeback fight. He had dementia or Alzheimer's, whatever you want to call it, and probably that was a lot because his brain got beat up a whole lot while he was fighting. So the idea that steroids are bad because it hurts you, I don't buy that argument. Like I said, there's a lot of examples that don't involve steroids where people died or injured for their sport. The real reason McGuire was kept out was his bad performance in front of the Senate, but I think that's bullshit. Seems to me they ought to take the politics and the petty bullshit out of the Hall of Fame. Seems to me if you break any major record, you have to be in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose, greatest hitter of all time, he can't be in the Hall of Fame. Mark McGuire broke the record that stood for how many years? I guess since 61, is that what it was? So he broke a record that was 40 years old, or 38, whatever it was, and he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame. That's just stupid. This is all politics. It's all bullshit. If they wanted to make it fair, if you broke the stolen bases record, if you broke the hitting record, if you got Golden Glove X many years in a row, if you won the Triple Crown, which is what, home runs, average, and RBIs, I think. Like I'm always saying, when somebody had asked me to explain Hillary or Bill or something, it doesn't matter. If the pins fall down, if you bowl a strike and the pins fall down, you don't have to explain how you did that. If you hit a ball and it falls in the pocket on the pool table, you don't have to explain nothing. The ball fell. And same way in sports, if the ball left the playing field, then it's a home run. And you can argue about all kinds of things, but, you know, how do we know Babe Ruth wasn't doing something wrong? How do we know Ty Cobb wasn't doing something wrong? Anybody in the Hall of Fame, who knows? Sammy Sosa, remember, he was doing, and he's got steroid problems too, I guess. But remember, he got caught with a corked bat. So that'll probably keep him out. I don't know if that's rightfully so. That's downright red-handed caught cheating. The point being, the home run hitters of the past, how do we know that they didn't use a corked bat and the bat didn't break, so they got away with it? Another thing about Mark McGuire, well, two things. His kind of pet project was sexually abused kids. And whatever you think about McGuire, it took balls for him to do that. You know, it's so much easier to send money to the animals, the widows and orphans. But if you stand up for the sexually abused kids, then to some degree you have to go see them and you meet them and you go to the homes and you hear the stories. And that's a lot to put yourself through for no reason. Plus, I'm from St. Louis and he was a Cardinal. So, you know, he gets a point with me there. I admit I'm prejudiced. But then the last thing, well, they were... Well, the fascist sons of bitches were trying to tear Clinton apart with their teeth in 1998. America got something now and then to look at besides the sons of bitches going after Clinton. When McGuire and his race for the home run, him and Sammy fighting for the home run title that year, and McGuire ending up with 70. But because he did a stupid thing in front of Congress years later, they're going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame, and that's just stupid. You can't have somebody that big. Well, they've already done it to Pete Rose, but it's just stupid. It's illogical. If you don't like Pete Rose, well, fine. He got the most hits. What are you going to tell the guy? You can't have that. You're either going to recognize achievement or you're not. But the idea that we're going to have a panel and we're all going to get together and vote on our favorites, that's just third-grade bullshit, and it ought not to be in baseball. And now here's a letter to the editor. Enough about Super Bowl's coaches race. They can understand this is Tuesday's paper. The two black coaches got into the Super Bowl late Sunday night. And here it is in Tuesday morning's paper. So you talk about a maximum of about maybe 30, 40-hour window. And this guy is sick and tired of hearing about the black guys going to the Super Bowl. He just don't hear any more of it. Enough about Super Bowl's coaches race. I am just a little bit tired of the phrase about Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith, the first African-American coaches in the Super Bowl. Now, this guy is fed up. He doesn't want to hear it one more time. We're working on his last nerve. I'm a Dungy fan, which is an odd kind of a sentence, and I thought Tampa made a very big mistake when they got rid of him. I wish the Dolphins had hired him. What? We never hear about the Italian-German-Polish-Americans or other nationalities being the first. This guy can't be this dumb. You can't be this dumb. Well, yeah, I guess I'm sorry. You can. We got a president, and we got 20-30% of this country that is this dumb. I think the media and announcers are making too much out of a very good situation. I wish both men success. Well, not weird. He starts out, he's sick and tired of hearing it. Second paragraph, he likes Tony Dungy. Third paragraph, you never hear about the Italians and the Germans and Polish. Hey, asshole, I got a question for you. Have you ever heard of Italians being lynched
for looking at a white woman. I never have. Maybe sometime the whole without papers stuff. I don't know when that is. Is that the 19-teens or whatever? I don't know if there was anti-Italian prejudice and hatred and all that back then, but I personally have never heard of an Italian being strung up for looking at a white girl's legs. But trust me, the Oklahoma race riot 1921, black guy looked at a white girl, might even have said something. I don't know how many dozens or hundreds of lives and homes were burned. It was a race war. Black against white. Come on, Gus. Come on, Daryl. Get some guns. We're going up north to get us some niggers. Oh, it was just a monster riot. And yeah, you go to Google, Tulsa Race War 1921. There you got some fine reading. And he talks about the Germans. Well, have you ever heard of a German family being put on an auction block and selling granddad over here and the kids over here and mom and over here? No, that ain't never happened. And the Polish Americans, did they ever have a civil war because some people felt they had a right to keep the Polish Americans in chains? No, that didn't happen. But this guy's tired of it. He's tired of hearing all this yakety-yakety about the blacks, but we don't hear enough about the Italian slaves, the German slaves, and the Polish-American victims of lynching. This is the very Honorable Edward F. Wow. Zurawski. Ah. Could be Polish, but it looks a whole lot like Al-Zahiri, or who's that, that guy that we finally killed after all the beheadings? It looks like that when you first glance at it. Stuart, Florida. Well, dude, odds are between now and the Super Bowl, you're going to hear that black coaches thing again, so I hope you can stand it. This may be a roller coaster ride that is your first time. This could be tough, buddy. You poor bastard. This is what... He's not outraged about the 3,000 dead in Iraq. He's not outraged that his mother and his grandparents don't have any more Social Security. He's not... Oh, he's tired hearing about these blacks. There's some nutty ducks in this world, aren't there?
And if you want it, come and get it, crying out loud. The love that I was giving you was never in doubt. Let go of your heart, let go of your head, and fail it now. Let go of your heart, let go of your head, and fail.
Here's an article by Dwayne Wickham, who is normally sane. He's a African-American individual. And it's easier to say that on the radio, because when I'm typing, I type real fast. And I don't have time to... African-American, Christ, you got to capitalize stuff. You got to probably put a hyphen in there to be politically correct. And it's so much easier to write black and zoom right past it. Boom! But he is a African-American individual, writes for US Whore Today. And hadn't reminded you in a while, but the reason we like to quote from the U.S. Whore Today, or in this issue we do some Time Magazine, is because everybody can see it. If I'm quoting you stories out of the Tulsa World, you're going, the what? You know, people can say, it never happened. And, you know, knowing the stupid-ass Tulsa World, they don't put a link to it up there, so now I'm the guy who made shit up. So that's why we like to quote the papers and the magazines everybody can get their bloody little hands on. Sorry about that. Obama and Clinton don't have a lock on 2008. Says Dwayne Wickham. Well, A, nobody said they did. Just because they're far and away the front runners, you know, that causes some people to think in a race the guy that's ahead could win. But Dwayne needs to calm down. Not surprisingly, I'm jumping to the middle because nobody wants to hear the whole thing. With neither Bush nor Cheney seeking the presidency next year, and foreign policy again the cause of great discontent, a growing number of senators lining up for the job. And journalists are treating them as though they have the inside track. Well, now, what does that mean? The leaders have the inside track. I think you have to say that. News Whore magazine ran pictures of Democratic Senators Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on its cover earlier this month with the headline, "The Race is On." Clinton launched her presidential campaign last week. Obama is scheduled to formally announce his White House run next month. Oh, I didn't mean that as a racial slur. I'm sorry. I just see the word month and I think of the F. I swear I'm going to be surprised if he does that. I think he's going to say, after careful deliberation, I decided not to seek this And because the field is so strong, he'll give all the usual reasons. But I can't see him getting into this because, geez, one or two well-placed jabs and his future, well, we won't speculate about that. Also this month, the Wall Street Horror reported that Sportsbook.com made McCain the odds-on favorite to win the GOP nomination, even though he trails Giuliani in the recent poll. But it's too soon to turn his campaign into a senatorial foot race. I wouldn't discount the prospects of Governor or Mayor Giuliani winning the presidency. Well, see again, what does that mean? That is stupid talk. You can discount the prospects of Bart winning the presidency because I'm not running, but anyone who's even being talked about is considerable. God, can't people, when they write a column, don't they have, like, editors anymore that go back and say, hey, clean this paragraph here, clean it up. That's gobbledygook. What are you, nuts? It's a lot easier to attack a senator who has a voting record than Jamie McCowan, professor of something somewhere. Oh, he's at the College of the Atlantic in Bad Habit. We've been to Bad Habit. Opponents of a senator who is running for president can make an issue of their voting record, which is often not easy to defend, disagree. Because especially the way these idiots pack up a bill, like we talked about the poker bill. They attach the poker bill to something that, you know, saves the lives of the vest, armored vest bill. And at the last second, they throw the poker thing on the end of it. So now you're the senator that's against the poker. And now, if you're the senator from Nevada and you wanted to pretend, now you're the, I mean, that's crazy. Any vote in this world, unless you're a moron like Kerry who can't defend himself. Recently, remember the water heater lady that we bought a water heater for? I guess it was just last Christmas. Seems like I've known her for a long time. But she sent a cartoon talking about a swift boat this. Yeah. When these monkeys start saying, Miss Clinton voted for the when they do that, she's going to real calmly say, the reason I did this is X and Y. And this thing keeps coming up about what idiot Kerry is about. I voted for it because I voted against it. He said, it said his long explanation for that stupid-ass sentence, I voted for it before I voted against it, never caught up with the original blunder. Well, that's because he's crazy and he doesn't know how to frame anything. I can do it. Why can't Kerry do it? You can't vote for and against the same bill. You can't do it. They don't let you vote twice on the same bill. When you vote for it once and against it the second time, that's because it's a different bill. It's not the same bill. Both of them had $87 billion or something in it, but Christ, if I say a guy laying in the street, let's vote to pick him up and take him to the hospital. Okay, we all agree. And then I say, but what do you say we stop by Krispy Kreme and buy 1,000 donuts and eat them first? Well, no, we're not going to do that. Well, you just voted for it, now you're voting against it. That's not how it works. If you just explain yourself, and the guy who falsely accuses you, now it's back on him. It's the old rubber sticks to me and glue, whatever that phrase is. You try that with a Clinton, see if you don't get it shoved up your butt. Okay, continuing. Oh, Christ, I just ran ahead. Remember John Kerry's fumble in answering how he voted on a military bill? Actually did vote. Okay, so we'll pass that up. In the current campaign, there's no shortage of governors who have entered or are posed to enter the race. Among Democrats, Bill Richardson, New Mexico, Tom Vilsack from some unknown state, and three Republicans, Mitt Romney, who's crazy, and he's a Mormon, which doesn't make him crazy, but he's a crazy Mormon, and he can't tell you who his great-grandmother is because granddad had five wives. Mike Huckabee, totally religiously insane. Surely we're not going down that path again. And George Pataki. It's wacky Pataki. Thinks he's good. Pataki's the idiot that said we ought to take that statue of Saddam that we pulled down and incorporate it into the base of the New World Trade Center. Well, no, he didn't have a goddamn thing to do with 9/11. You idiot. If I was the Democrat and I was running against Pataki, I wonder how many times per minute I'd be reminding people that. That Pataki was one of the big-time linkers of Saddam to 9/11, which never was true, but he thought there was some political milk in it, so he sucked on that teat day after day. Don't let the pundits in the early polls fool you. One of these governors could turn out to be a dark horse candidate. What a dumb thing to say! Dwayne Wickham! Can you be more stupid? I mean, yeah, you can, and like I say, I kind of like the guy. But to say, don't let the pundits in the polls fool you, one of these governors could turn out to be a dark horse, well, yeah, if everything goes right, they're going to be a dark horse, which means they're not the favorite. That's exactly what's wrong with you. Some say four is greater than two. Well, yeah. Are you nuts? Especially if Clinton and Obama split the Democratic Party's liberal base. Is that the one that's over at COS? The liberal base. Oh, all the liberals going for Hillary. And if McCain is upended by his support of Bush's decision to send more troops to Iraq and Giuliani's liberal stance on social issues generates a backlash among right-wing Republicans, the GOP may end up with a governor at the head of its presidential ticket. This much is certain. It's much too early to treat next year's presidential election like a graduation exercise for the U.S. Senate. Well, then, Dwayne, why are you writing about it? If it's much too soon to be anointing anybody king, why did you weigh in to tell us that the dark horses might end up being dark horses? Oh, journalism needs more bark cop in it. That's a weird thing to say, but, you know, A, say something. B, get to the point. And don't say, some people think six is greater than three.
Well, yeah.
Well, there you had it. Show number 103 in the can. Well, I guess by now you're listening to it. I'd like to thank the subscribers. I'd like to thank those who send the occasional check in the mail. And, you know, we are trying harder on this as we're a little bit behind our Monday schedule, but this is the third show in 3 weeks. So tell your friends we're trying to raise some revenue here. So I'll get to work on show 104. This is Barton K-Drag, and I'm out of here.
Just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. I wanna roll with the gangsters. But so far they all think I'm too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. Really, really white and nerdy.
At MIT, got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40 out, just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary, you'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library. My MySpace page is all totally pimped out. Got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to a thousand places. Ain't got no grills, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise. I'm a whiz, a minesweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're gonna stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I set the place ablaze. There's no killer rap I haven't run. At Pascal, well, I'm number one. Do vector calculus just for fun. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song. I can sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. Alright, I sing.
You see me roll on my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. I like to roll with the gangsters. Although it's apparent I'm too too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. How'd I get so white and nerdy?
Been browsing, inspecting X-Men comics, you know I collect them. The pens in my pocket, I must protect them. My ergonomic keyboard never leaves me bored. Shopping online for deals on some writable media. I edit Wikipedia. I memorize Holy Grail really well. I can recite it right now and have you ROTFLOL. I got a business doing websites. While friends need some code, who do they call? I do HTML for them all. Even made a homepage for my doll. Yo, I got myself a fanny pack. They were having a sale down at the Gap. Spend my nights with a roll of bubble wrap. Pop, pop, hope no one sees me getting freaky.
I'm nerdy in the extreme and whiter than sour cream.
I was in AV club and glee club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard. What, do I like Kirk or do I like Picard?
Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair. Got my name on my underwear. They see me strolling.